I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
Hey Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well Lynn, I'm going to start off by talking with Dino. Now he has a trout farm.
Yes, the Springwater Trout Farm, and it's also a campground, and he's just north of Armidale.
Fantastic place. Great drive-through sites, easy to access.
Yes.
Now straight after that, I'm going to be telling all the listeners about Tamworth.
Yep, some of the things you can see and do there.
Absolutely. And then I'm also going to play a great song by Roger Knox, who is known as the Black Elvis or the King of Koori.
Oh, okay.
And then after that,
you're going to be talking to Len Crampton.
Okay. And he's
a solo traveller. Okay. And you met him at the Tara Camel Races.
I did. And he's 89 years of age.
Wow.
Absolutely
impressive.
A sprightly fellow too. I've got to tell you, he actually built his own camper trailer.
Oh, okay.
Well, not a camper trailer. Actually, what he did was he outfitted a van to become like a mobile home.
Oh, good on him.
89 years of age, did all the work himself. And then straight after that,
you're going to be talking to Jeff Diath.
Oh, good old Jeff. Yep. Mr. Jeff Diath from Checkweight. What are we going to be discussing with him?
Why you shouldn't overtake trucks.
Oh, look, that's a very, very touchy subject, a very hairy area too.
Yep.
Very important for all our listeners to listen to that one. Now, apart from all these fabulous discussions, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So what do you think, Lynn?
On with the show.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Phil C. If you've just joined us, Roman Oz is the name of the program where we take you on location. And we are with Dino, and he has Springwater Trout Farm. Tell us all about Springwater. Well, before you do that, Dino, how you going, my friend?
Yeah, I'm going well, thanks, mate.
That's good. That's good. Tell us a little bit about your Springwater Trout Farm. It's a fantastic place. I absolutely love it. For anybody who's not been out there and had a look at it, tell the listeners, what can they expect when they come there in relation to your farm, first of all?
Yep. So I run a trout farm and just north of Armidale, 10 minutes north of Armidale.
Mm-hmm.
So I grab me Rain Bay trout out here and I smoke my product on farm here.
Right.
And I build a bit of a campsite, so people have been coming and having a camp and trying their luck at catching a trout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so people just come and enjoy the day and have a barbecue. And,
now, you got some fantastic facilities there, Dino. I mean, I must admit, I wasn't expecting to see something as well set up as this. Like your campsites, for example, you just mentioned those. Completely level sites. There's no backing. There's no fussing. If you've got a big rig, just drive it straight onto a level site. Your power's there. You know, you got a little fire pit there all set up. How long have you been doing this part of it? Because I know you've had the trout farm for quite a while.
Yeah, so I had a bit of a wreck there. I've been doing the trout farm for 20-odd years, and I built a bit of a wreck dam, and I've had a few people drop in for a bit of a fish for the day, and they're the one that suggested to put a few campsites in, a few people would like to come and camp, and I've sort of just been asking questions, like asking what they'd like, and a lot of them people say if they get drive-through sites where they didn't have to back up and all that sort of stuff. So I normally just ask what they sort of want, so that's how I sort of come about do the camping sites and have a camp kitchen and toilets and showers. And
absolutely fantastic setup. How many sites do you actually have, Dino?
So I've got 16 powered sites.
Right.
And I've got about 30 sites all up. So okay. A few other sort of 14 unpowered ones.
Okay. And all these powered ones, they're all just virtually drive straight on, aren't they? There's no backing, there's no trees and posts or anything in the way. It's just
nothing in the road.
Nah, they're absolutely brilliant. And apart from the fact that they're all easy to just drive straight onto and the fact that they're all level, they got some fantastic views as well. You've got the views of the dam, and your facilities are absolutely sensational. You've got showers, you've got the toilets, you've also got a nice big area where they could just sort of sit underneath that. It's all undercover if they wanted to have a bit of a happy hour down there. How long has that one been set up, that outside area?
Yeah, so it's all fairly, they're new toilets and showers and barbecue areas, so it's only 2 years ago I sort of built all that. Plenty of shade and plenty of grassy area, so it's a dog-friendly place, so if people want to bring their dogs, there's plenty of plenty of room for the dogs to run around, and if people want to go for a bit of a walk or a bit of bird watching.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, you're located on about 300 acres, aren't you? Absolute pristine countryside. And the actual trout farm itself, that occupies about 10 acres, is that right?
Yeah, about 10 hectares all up the fish farm is, the ponds and that.
Yep. So one great thing, pet friendly, that is just such an incredible thing to have now, because a lot of travellers are travelling with pets, and this is incredible, the fact that, you know, that they can actually bring their pet out there. That's definitely a plus. Now, you've also got a dump point, is that correct?
Yeah. So I've got a new dump point put in. So it's been in for about eight months now.
Okay. Now, what about the fishing side of it? Now, you've obviously got to pay for that, which is fair enough, because you've got these great dams. So how does it work? I mean, do they need a fishing license, or because it's private, can they just wander in? How does that work?
Yeah, so the biggest thing here is you don't need a fishing license because it's private property.
Yep.
And I'm a trout farm, so I don't have any closed seasons, so the fishing's 12 months a year. So people come and pay to have a bit of a fish, and I try to keep the dam stocked with up to 1,000 trout at all times.
Right.
And so they've got a good chance of catching a few, and it's all sort of catch and keep. So whatever they sort of catch, I clean it for them. They can cook them on the facilities at the farm, or I cryovac them and they can take them with them.
Yeah, which is a great idea. So I guess when they catch them, you clean them and you just charge them, what, the market rate for whatever trout are at the time? Or
Market rate sort of clean, so.
Which is sensational. I mean, you can't get anything better than a fresh fish straight out of the dam, and they don't even have to go to the trouble of cleaning it. All they've got to do is cook it for them, and that's it. You do all the great stuff. So what have you got in there? Are they mainly rainbows, or have you got browns, or have you got any salmon out there or anything else?
It's mainly rainbow trout. That's not the main farm you smoke, but in the rec dam I do have brown trout as well, brown brook trout. I do have some Atlantic salmon in there, and silver salmon. And I'm probably going to put a few yellow belly in there this year as well.
So. Okay, wow. So the yellow belly, they're not, just as out of curiosity, they're not going to, because yellow belly can be a bit aggressive, can't they? They're not going to beat up your trout, I hope.
No, well, sort of anything that's with a small mouth will live together. So you get your trout, your seminoids, you get your silver perch and yellow belly, you've all got small mouths, they'll sort of live together.
Yep.
Once you start putting cod and bass and all that sort of stuff, they'll start attacking each other.
You wouldn't say you're not gonna put barramundi out there or anything. It'd probably
barramundi. I think you put them in, that's all you'd end up having, I reckon.
Yeah, they're gonna swallow anything that fit in their mouth. Goodness. So tell us, you've also won a number of awards, haven't you? Tell the listeners about all these awards you've won at the Sydney shows.
Yeah, so in 2016 I heard about these awards, and I entered the Sydney Royal Show.
Right.
And I was lucky enough to win a silver and a bronze that year for my first year. I was quite happy. And in 2019, I had another go, and then I was lucky enough to win the gold.
Wow.
With my product. Okay. Yeah. So
and what products were they, Dino, that you actually won the awards for?
So my smoked trout fillet.
Right.
What I won me gold for. And I won a silver. I do a pate as well.
Right.
So I won a silver for me pate.
Okay.
So there's another level. There's a grand champion. I was half a point off winning that last time. So I'm gonna go for that next year.
Okay. So if people decide they want to stay there and do a little bit of fishing and that, can they actually leave, buy some products from you, and head off again with some of your products, like some of your trout products or whatever?
Yeah. So I do have a little shop at the farm here where I sell a bit of tackle gear, and I sell me smoked trout and drinks and all that sort of stuff. So, if they want to come and stay a few days and have some fresh trout, what they catch, and some smoked trout as well, but they can take the product with them.
Take it with them. Fantastic. Yeah. Now, you did mention you got a tackle shop. So if a person comes to you and says, oh, look, I'm going to stay a couple of days, but I haven't got any fishing gear, if they just want to fish, have you got higher gear, or is that part of it if they haven't got any equipment?
Yeah, so that's the beauty of it. You don't have to have any gear at all. You can sort of just turn up, and I do have rods and reels and uh-huh. even fly rods if they want to try out a fly rod.
Right.
All that stuff on farm if they want to hire that out.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got everything here for them.
Sounds fantastic. Absolutely sensational. So anybody that wants to have a crack at fly fishing, for example, there's a bit of an art to that. Do you fish yourself with fly rods?
I do. I've only sort of learned over the last 2 or 3 years. I used to get a bloke, Jeff Brown, who's the fly fishing rep, used to come up and put some stuff in the shop, and he sort of showed me a few sort of tips. I'm no expert at it, but I can sort of show people a bit of an idea and a gist.
Okay.
I want to learn how to do it.
Absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. Now, what about your rates? Tell the listeners about your rates, because, I mean, I know, I've stayed there myself, and I just want to stress, listeners, this place is absolutely sensational, okay? The sites are level. Dino, you're a champion. You're very helpful with everything, but there really isn't anything that you need to do other than let the people drive on, drop the legs, pull out the awning, relax, and have a beer, and look at the fantastic, pristine, you know, scenery of your place. So there's not much there to do. But what about your prices now? Just for the listeners, how much do you charge to stay overnight? Your fishing, have you got tours or anything around your property, or what else can they expect?
So I do tours as well if they book them in.
Yep.
So it's normally $15 per person. It's about an hour or so of the tour.
Right.
And once you sort of finish the tour around the farm, I'll give them a sample of my product so they can try the smoked trout or the dip to see if they like it.
Fantastic.
And, so if they want to camp in that here, so it's $25 a night for unpowered and $30 a night for power.
Yes. And is that like and per couple?
Per site.
Per site. So one or two people.
Yeah, so one or two people.
Yep. That's very, very reasonable, yep.
Yeah, and the fishing's $20 for adults and $10 for kids under 16.
Okay.
So that's the fish. The fish as long as they stay here.
Okay.
And then, but you just got to buy for what you catch. So most of the fish are a good sort of pan-sized one.
Yep. Yeah. So when you say for as long as you're there, you charge $20 to fish, and if a person was there for 3 or 4 days, it's not $20 a day, it's $20 for
No. I get a lot of people come and just do day trips.
Yes.
Fair enough, they just pay for the day.
Yep.
But people that come and stay, if they want to stay for 2 or 3 nights here, it's just the one cup of charge.
Sensational.
Just one charge while they fish here, but yeah, they just got to keep what they catch.
Of course.
So it's up to them how much they want to take with them. And,
Of course. Yeah. And $20, does that include gear as well, or no? Is there an addition?
There is. There's rod hire. I normally charge around $10, but that's with the bait and the lures.
Okay.
So that just covers the lures and that sort of stuff in case you lose one or something like that. But the new rods and reels, but they're more than welcome to bring their own stuff.
Of course.
So they can use whatever they like since it's catch and keep. So and use bait or lures.
Fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Oh, look, listeners, this place, Springwater Trout Farm, it's absolutely sensational, and I do urge anybody. How can they find out about you, Dino? What's the best way of contacting you for bookings?
Yeah, so the biggest thing, I've got a website.
Okay.
Dino's Smoked Trout, so they can jump on there and book a site on the website as well, but they can ring me.
Yes.
So, my phone number's 0427-750-182. They can contact me on that number.
Okay. That's the best way. That's the easiest way. Otherwise, go onto the website, listeners. Okay.
Yeah. I do have Facebook as well. Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. Sensational, my friend. Look, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. And I hope that you haven't been affected too much with the COVID state of travel. Have you been affected greatly by that?
Yep. For sure. So not many people out holidaying, and a lot of cafes and restaurants were shut down. But there's still a lot of little supermarkets and butcher shops still open. But like everyone was a bit affected.
Yep. Well, fingers crossed, my friend, that the situation is, there seems to be some light at the end of the tunnel, and shortly there'll be some tourists back on the road. And I hope when they're passing through your way, they take the time to come and have a look, because definitely will not be disappointed with what you have to offer.
Awesome. More than welcome. Anyone can drop in.
Thank you so much for your time, Dino. Before I wrap this up, my friend, I'd love to play a song for you. It's got to be Australian. Have you got a favourite Australian singer or band that you're really into?
Yeah, when I was growing up here, my dad always used to listen to a fair bit of Red Gum.
Okay.
And yeah, I sort of always loved red gum. But poor Ned, there's a good old song I used to like.
Poor Ned. Ned Kelly, all about Mr. Ned Kelly. Poor Ned. Very appropriate song.
Yeah.
Good on you, my friend. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dino. That's Dino, listeners, from Springwater Trout Farm. He's also got camping out there, powered caravan sites, pet-friendly, great amenities, and fantastic fishing. So make sure you take the time to go out and see him. Thank you so much for your time, Dino. We're going to play that song for you right now, and we'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after Red Gum's Poor Ned.
Poor Ned, you're better off dead. At least you'll get some peace of mind. You're out on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high.
1878 was the year I remember so well. They put my father in an early grave.
It's a thousand like Ned Kelly who'll hoist the flag of stars. We sing, poor Ned, you're better off dead. At least you'll get some peace of mind. You're out on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high. Poor Ned, you're better off dead. At least you'll get some peace of mind. You're out on the track, they're right on your back. Boy, they're gonna hang you high.
Oh, well, hello, listeners. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tamworth, okay? Now, when you think Tamworth, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Yep. It's got to be the Country Music Festival, right? Okay, now the Country Music Festival in late January. It's the second biggest country music festival in the world after Nashville. Now, the city is recognised as the National Equine Capital of Australia because of the high number of equine events held in the city and the construction of the world-class Australian Equine and Livestock Events Centre. Now, the biggest of its kind in the Southern Hemisphere. You know, before any of that happened, though, a little bit of trivia for you about the town of Tamworth. Now, it was the first city of lights. Do you know what that means? Well, I'm going to tell you. Being the first city in Australia to use electric streetlights. Now, this is going back to 1888. Okay, so on the 18th of January, it was, in 1888, the Mayor William Frederick Tribe signed a contract with the English firm R.E. Crompton and Company to light the streets of Tamworth with electric lighting. The plan to be operated within 10 months. Now, on the 9th of November, 1888, the new Mayoress Elizabeth Piper switched on a total of 13.5 miles, or 21.5 kilometres of electric street lighting, the first municipal electrical street lighting system to be commissioned anywhere in Australia. Oh, enough of that old stuff. Why don't we talk about, as I said right at the start of it, what Tamworth is really, really famous for? And that, of course, is the Tamworth Country Music Festival. Now, it's an annual Australian music festival. It's held for 10 days from Friday to Sunday in mid to late January. Now, each year, sometimes, if you're lucky, it'll also include the Australia Day. Now, the festival is a celebration of country music culture and heritage, in particular, the national Australian country music scene, with numerous concerts and live performances at various venues. During the festival, the city of Tamworth comes alive with visitors from all across the country and worldwide. The festival has many times been counted among the world's top 10 music festivals. In 2017, Forbes rated it as number 8 of the world's coolest music festivals. The enormous number of visitors during the bash doubles. The city's population explodes and brings significant tourism and economic benefits to the region. Visitor numbers for the 2012 festival were estimated at 50,000 people, and it just grows and grows and grows every single year. The mass number of visitors means the accommodation throughout the area is consistently booked out for this period, for up to 12 months in advance, with many visitors camping in caravans, camper vans and tents by the city's riverside and numerous other temporary camping sites throughout the region. So, listeners, whilst tens of thousands of tourists flock to the region in January for the world's famous country music festival, there's still so many other things to see and do. Explore areas, national parks, dams and waterfalls. Go on a horse riding trek and make the most of the wide open spaces and natural beauty. Don't forget now, the Tamworth Information Centre at the Big Golden Guitar is the perfect pit stop. If you want tips on discovering this beautiful part of the country, what about take a scenic drive? That's a good idea. Take a scenic drive through the countryside to visit the historic towns including Werris Creek, Euralla and Gunnedah, where you can meet local koalas. Yes, you can indeed. Experience the country rodeo. Why not do that at the Australian Equine and Livestock Event Centre, one of the finest equine venues in the world. For something tamer, meet joeys and other friendly animals at the Tamworth Marsupial Park and Adventure Playground. Now, other family attractions include gems fossicking and splashing about in the Lake Keppett Water Park. The area is home of the spectacular national parks. In Warrumbah National Park, go bushwalking and camping by the Namoe River, which is also a great spot for fishing or canoeing. Chaffley Dam, north of Nundle, is another great spot. You can also go there. Local camping is available there. Fishing and boating destination. Split Rock Dam near Barabra is a bird-watching paradise. Now, what about food and drink, listeners? From the fertile Liverpool Plains around Quirindi to the New England Highway Country vineyards near Euralla, the area is one of Australia's richest agricultural regions, boasting delicious food and wine experiences. One of the most popular is the 10-day Taste Tamworth Festival in April, showcasing the region's produce, cool climate wines and restaurants. Okay, listeners, so what about getting there and where to stay? The Tamworth region is a 5-hour drive north of Sydney and 7 hours from Brisbane. There's also a daily direct train and the journey takes just over 6 hours. Or why not fly into Tamworth Regional Airport and hire a car to explore the area? Places to stay range from camping and caravanning to heritage pubs, guest houses, motels and farm stays. Listeners, I'm going to play a track now for you. And what would be the most appropriate track for me to play? Well, we are talking about the great area of Tamworth and the Country Music Festival. So I'm going to play you a country track now.
The city lights are driving me so crazy. I walk lonely streets of old Tamworth. How I wish that I was back there in the dream time, in the country where there's always peace and quiet. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time. Hear the didgeridoo a droning in the night, where corroborees are seen by the firelight, far away from the glow of city light. Now that on Main Street, it makes me feel so lonely. For the gum trees and the taste of porcupine, I see my brothers, I see my sisters here in Tamworth, torn apart by government ways and city life. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time. Hear the didgeridoo a droning in the night, where corroborees are seen by the firelight, where the white man's ways won't bother me no more. No, the white man's ways won't bother me.
Fantastic song, listeners. The Streets of Tamworth. Now, you probably thought I was going to play some Slim Dusty, didn't you? Or some Lee Kernaghan or some Johnny Williamson. But I thought, you know what? Roger Knox, we don't get to hear anywhere near enough of his songs on the radio. So I thought, I'm going to pick a Roger Knox track, okay? And that's the one, Streets of Tamworth. Now, Roger was born in 1948, okay? Now, he's an original Australian country singer, known as the Black Elvis or the Corey King of Country. Knox is from the Gamilaroi Nation, part of the Aboriginal Australian community, and was born in Moree, New South Wales. Knox grew up in the Tumala Aboriginal Mission near Bogabilla, which is near the border between New South Wales and Queensland. Now, Knox comes from a family with 11 children. His mother was a stolen child who was taken from her parents as a baby and raised in the children's home in Bomaderry. Now, Bomaderry, that's down on the south coast. Knox was not allowed to attend the high school in Goondiwindi, but instead was sent by the mission to work without pay, and I kid you not, listeners, at one of their properties. Knox has said that the first music he heard growing up was gospel music, which his grandmother, who taught Sunday school, played. Fantastic song, Streets of Tamworth, and a great singer, the Black Elvis, or the Corey King of Country, Mr. Roger Knox. G'day, Phil C here. This is Roaming Oz, and I am at TAR at the Camel Races Festival, and I'm chatting with Len Crampton. How are you going today, Len?
I'm going very well, thank you.
Mate, it's a pleasure to meet you. I just wanted to talk to you. First of all, I'm amazed I've never met somebody of your age. Tell us how old you are, Len.
I'm 89, going 90 on the 15th of November.
And you're a single traveller.
Yep.
Now tell us, mate, how long have you been travelling?
Since the wife died, about 6.5 years.
Okay, right. Yeah. So you've been travelling by yourself for 6.5 years. Now, before the wife died, did you do a lot of travel?
Did a lot of travelling, yeah. We love travelling.
You love travelling.
Yeah.
Mate, you're out here and I'm looking at this rig. You got a Ford Transit rig. Now, I understand you outfitted this yourself.
Yes, every bit of it, from start to finish.
So, tell us just a couple of features about the van. What's it got inside that you did yourself?
It's got twin beds.
Right.
It's got a fridge, stove.
Right.
Inverter.
Yeah.
That's about it, I think. Yeah.
And you got an awning, and you did the windows yourself.
Yeah.
And you did this all yourself.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to do?
About 2.5 months.
2.5 months? Goodness me, if you ordered one today, it'd take 2.5 years. 2.5 months. Well, roughly, what was the cost of it?
The cost was $40,000 for the rig.
Yep.
And about $9,000 to fit it out.
Fabulous. So about $49,000, and you had it done exactly the way you want it.
Yep.
And in 2 months.
That's right.
Brilliant stuff. Mate, what did you do before you retired? Were you in the fabrication business or something? Or?
No, I was an earth-moving contractor.
Earth-moving. So how long have you had this skill to be able to do something like this?
Oh, I've had it for quite a long while, actually.
Yeah?
I designed and built a spitter box for bitumen work.
Right.
Which the Sun got patented worldwide.
Uh-huh.
It's all automatic and computerised.
Yep. And I can't believe it. You're 89 years of age. I feel like I'm talking to a 60-year-old. What's your secret? What do you do for a good, healthy, happy life? Because, I mean, if I make it 89 and I look and sound as good as you, mate, I'm going to be real happy.
Keep away from rough women.
Rough women. So you don't smoke? Are you like an occasional beer? And
no, I don't drink and I don't smoke.
Oh, that's the secret. Okay, well, in that case, I'm not going to make it. I'm not a smoker, mate, but I do like a drink. I've got to tell you. So what's the longest trip you've done in one stint?
Oh, since the wife died, about 6 months.
Okay.
When the wife was alive, we did 12 months going around Australia.
In the caravan?
Yeah, we had a car and caravan then.
Okay. So yeah. 12 months on the road with the wife and 6 months by yourself.
Yeah.
Mate, do you ever get lonely?
Oh, not really. No. The people you meet, they're very nice people.
Yeah.
You know, like we come to the camp like this, they all talk to you. So, you know, you got somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
It's good.
And what brings you to Tara, to the camel races? Have you ever been here before?
No, never before.
Okay.
I'm travelling with three other people here.
Okay.
And they wanted to come, so I just tagged along with them.
Uh-huh. So the three other people, you're waving to the left. Is this these three gorgeous ladies on the left?
There's two ladies on the left and a man.
Oh, geez. So we got two fellas, listeners, travelling alone, and two beautiful women in the middle. Did you plan that well, Len? You worked that out well.
It picked up pretty well anyway.
Absolutely. How old's the other chap on the other side?
Oh, I think he's in his early 70s.
He's in his early 70s.
I think so.
Mate, you're 89, you're very sprightly, and these two girls next door to you, I can understand why you'd want to travel with them. So where else have you been on your travels, mate?
I've been around Australia, over to Tassie.
Yeah.
That's about as far as I've been.
Yeah. And what would you sort of suggest to people that were interested in travelling by themselves, you know? Because at 89, to travel by yourself, like, to me, and I say this with the utmost respect, that's a pretty big feat because, you know, a lot of things can go wrong at 89. I mean, you're just taking it one day at a time, obviously.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? So what would you say to other people that are interested in travelling, say, in their 70s or 80s? You think, what do you reckon?
Go for it.
Give it a go?
Go for it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Now, you do have a fixed address, so you're not living in the car.
That's right,
But you do spend a fair bit of time in the car, the vehicle.
That's right.
And how long have you been on the road on this trip? Because you come from Coffs Harbour, you said.
Yep.
And we're at Tara, which is in Western Queensland. So how long has it taken you to get here?
Oh, I've been about 3.5 months. I follow the country music shows about.
So, Len, you love the country music scene, and you're going to a country festival here after you leave here in Tara. Now, talking about country music, have you ever met Slim Dusty?
Yes.
Well, how long ago would that have been?
Be probably 10 years, a bit more.
Okay. So what do you think of Slim?
He's all right. I like him. I like him. Yes, Slim's good. Yeah.
You like his songs?
I like his songs. I've got quite a few of his discs.
Okay. Now, but you know Slim didn't write all his music, don't you?
Yes.
Like Joy, his lovely wife Joy wrote a lot.
Yeah.
And so did Stan Costa.
Yeah.
And so did Gordon Parsons.
That's right, yes.
Now, I understand you've got a bit of a story about Gordon and that song, When the Rain Tumbles Down in July. Is that the one?
That's right, yeah.
Now, you got this straight from Gordon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us what you know about that one.
Gordon wrote it, and he gave it to Slim to play, and Slim changed a couple of words and put out his own song.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Gordon reckoned he was going to shoot him.
Because naturally Slim had a hit with it.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So did he? He must have given Gordon something for the song. What did he do? Or did he just say, see you later,
I
Gordon?
I believe he got £40 to £40 for the song.
£40.
Yeah.
Okay, and Slim's probably made $40 million over the last... with all the royalties.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Any other interesting country artists or singers you might have met along your travels?
I know a young lady that's singing now is Melissa Singer.
Yes.
She is very good.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is. She lost a partner a few months ago.
Yes, Albrecht passed away in January,
And she's travelling on her own now, and I see her from time to time. She gives me a nice big cuddle every time
I
see her.
She's a beautiful girl, isn't she?
She's a lovely lady.
Yeah, she sure is. Now, you know she's got the Maxwell Music Muster coming up.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
You going to that one as well?
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, I won't get the opportunity of seeing Vanessa, so you make sure when you see her, you give her a big cuddle and say, this is from Phil C. from Roman Oz and Aussie Flashbacks, all right?
All right, I'll do that.
Because I speak to Vanessa quite a lot. I'm looking forward to catching up with her.
Yeah.
You love the country music scene. So where were you before this one?
Targamitta.
Okay. All righty. And how long are you going to be on the road on this trip?
Another 2.5-3 months.
So you've been on the road now for about 3 months and you're going to be heading off and doing some other travelling. But I understand you did have some health issues, didn't you?
Yes, I had a very bad cancer issue. I had 7 cancers in my body and the biggest one was 8.5 centimetres.
Wow, so...
I had 4/7.
So you're all good now?
What? Yeah.
Perfectly good now. And I guess now that you're over there, that would have been a bit of a scare for you, for sure.
Yeah, it was. I was a guinea pig for that new treatment.
Okay.
For melanoma.
Okay. So they were melanomas, they were caused by the sun? Okay. All right. But the best thing is you're over all of that and you're hitting the road. You've been on the road for 3.5 months. You've spent probably 60 of your 89 years travelling with your wife before she passed, yes?
Yes, that's right. We were married for 57 and a half years.
Wow. So that would have been a big shock and a big loss. That's a long marriage. And I guess she'd be looking down at you now saying, keep doing it, Len, as long as you can.
Definitely. Definitely she would.
Yeah. Fabulous stuff. Well, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. It's I can't believe... Your enthusiasm. I see you got an axe there. Before we wind this up, and you got a pile of wood. Do you do your own wood chopping?
I do my own. My chainsaw was broken down, so I had to buy some for the first time in my life the other day.
A chainsaw at 89 years of age. Mate, you're not worried about cutting your leg off?
No, not really.
No?
No.
So,
I've got two. One, I wouldn't miss one.
You wouldn't miss one. You got one more to go with. So for the first time in your life as a traveller, you've had to buy a couple of bags of wood.
That's right. Yes.
That's right. So I don't think there's any shame in that, mate. I don't think there's any shame in that. So normally you've got an axe and you'd split your own wood
wherever you get to go to.
Okay. But you're at this festival and you're kicking back and you've got two beautiful ladies there. You don't have to impress them. Go out and buy it. Mate, I'm going to wind this one up. What can I play? I'm going to play an Aussie song for you to finish up. Who's your favourite Aussie singer?
Paul McLeod.
Yep. And have you got a favourite Paul McLeod song?
Yes, Spanish Angel.
Spanish Angels. Mate, I'm going to put that on right now. Thank you so much, Len. Len, listeners, he's 89 years of age. He's a single traveller in a Ford Transit that he outfitted himself this year. Took him 2.5 months. Mate, you're a credit to the race, I've got to tell you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Stick around for more Roaming Oz, listeners. We'll be back with more of that straight after Paul McLeod's Spanish Angels.
He looked down into her brown eyes and said, say a prayer for me. She threw her arms around him and said, God will keep us free. They could hear the riders coming. He said, this is my last fight. If they take me back to Texas, they won't take me back alive. There were 7 Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun.
When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home. She reached down and picked the gun up that lay smoking in his hand. She said, "Father, please forgive me. I can't make it without my man." And she knew the gun was empty, and she knew she couldn't win. But her final prayer was answered when the rifles fired again. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
Angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun.
When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
Seventh Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Hey listeners, Phil C here, Roman Oz, and we are at this point in the show where we get to talk to an extremely knowledgeable man from Checkweight, Mr. Jeff Diath. G'day, Jeff. How are you going today?
Oh, I've got some real weighty issues on my mind today, Phil.
Some real weighty issues. Okay. You haven't been raiding the pantry after midnight, have you?
No.
I thought
I'm
you might.
I'm usually in bed by about 9:30.
Okay. So and you don't sleepwalk?
No, I don't.
Okay. So it's not the pantry we're talking about with these weighty issues. What's the weighty issues for today's discussion?
Look, it's a discussion that I have all the time with people when I'm weighing them. And the issue tends to be what happens when a truck overtakes you or when you overtake a truck whilst you're towing a caravan.
Okay.
So I thought we'd talk about trucks and caravans on the road.
Right. That's a fascinating subject and such a Look, I've spoken to truck drivers about what they hate about caravan, you know, drivers, and I've spoken to caravan owners and what they hate about truck drivers. So tell us all about it. Why you said why you shouldn't overtake or why they shouldn't overtake?
Well, I think, you know, the issue is, you know, it's what happens when you overtake a truck or when a truck overtakes you.
Right.
So, look, our general recommendation, and a lot of this information I'll give you today, people can access on the Truck Friendly website. So that's truckfriendly.com.au.
Okay.
And, yeah, this is where I get the information that I impart to people. So, but I thought it's something that comes up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if you've got to realize that when you're overtaking a truck, there's a lot of forces happening. You know, so you've got wind, you've got the weight, you've got speed.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, our general recommendation to people is, you know, unless you really have to, don't overtake a truck, especially a B-double.
Yeah, agree.
My stepson, you know, drives a truck, and he, you know, sometimes drives a light rigid and sometimes it's a semi. And, you know, he's always seeing every time a caravan and a vehicle overtakes him, they always get up a sway.
Yes.
And where a caravan may be nice and stable at 95 kilometres an hour, when you're doing 105 to overtake a truck, it's now less stable.
Yes.
So... yeah, so I think that's the issue with overtaking is its speed, its weight, its wind.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose, you know, what we tend to think about is if you're going to overtake, well, do you really need to overtake that vehicle? You know, and why do you need to overtake him? I mean, you know, he's at work, you're at...
You're a player, aren't you?
And what you find is that a lot of the times you'll overtake a truck, you know, because he's going a little bit slow because of a car in front of him or the road conditions or something. And you overtake him and the next thing you know, he's up your bum because he's on the speed limiter.
Yes.
And you've slowed down. So if you've got a line of trucks in, you know, like, you know, think about it. You know, do you really need to overtake him? And then what's going to be the ramifications down the road? You know,
yes.
He probably knows the road. And if you're on holidays, you probably don't know the road.
Well, that's true. You know, the thing with these truck drivers is they are professional drivers. That is how they pay their mortgage and put food on the table. And they do these roads. They travel on these roads every day. They just about know every crack in the road, don't they? They know where they can get around you guys. And, you know, I guess the thing for me is I don't overtake trucks because it's, to me it's a pointless exercise because I sit on around about 90, 95. Okay, the truck goes up the hill. He's going a little bit slower than me and I think, oh, I'll get around this guy. But, you know, going down the hill, I'm still doing 90, 95 and he goes around me again. So all you've really done is double the action. You've doubled the action of putting yourself into a possible sway position to get around the guy. And then when he goes around you, you've got this possibility again. So, I mean, I'm happy to go up a hill. Most trucks will go up a hill doing 80 kilometres an hour if they get a decent run. So you just back off a bit, leave them in front of you, and then they'll get away from you. You might catch up to them at the next set of hills, but I would much rather have a truck in front of me than be in front. Have a truck behind me. Let them go. They're working. You're at play. You're at leisure. You know, why have this constant leapfrogging all along the highway in different parts? You know what I mean?
And that's exactly why, you know, we're having this discussion is because, you know, they're working and they're on a time frame.
Yes.
And, you know, you're on a self-imposed time frame.
Exactly.
That you want to get to A or B.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't get there by, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock and you get there at 4:30, it's not a, you know, a biggie.
No.
Whereas, you know, if you're overtaking trucks, and I suppose there's, you know, two types of overtaking. If we talk about on the highway, you know, which is, say, dual lane highway.
Yes.
You know, if you're doing, you know, 103 and the truck's doing 99.
Yes.
You know, it's going to take you quite a while to get around the truck, and then you're impeding all the traffic behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was travelling up the M1 between Wyong and Newcastle just last week, and there was a truck doing about 99 trying to overtake a truck doing 98.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 4 minutes, I was in the right-hand lane, fifth car back from this truck. But I could see in my rear vision mirror this massive line of cars that were allowed to do 110 but weren't able to.
Yes.
Because these two trucks were side by side.
Uh-huh. And yes.
So if you're in a, you know, towing your caravan, you're feeling that pressure to overtake that truck and speed. And go a bit quicker.
Mm.
Now, we've talked about speed. If you're more than 4.5 GCM, you're limited to 100 Ks.
Yes.
So, in essence, if the truck's doing 100, you're not legally allowed to overtake it.
No.
Without speeding. So just sit behind it and enjoy the traffic, you know, enjoy, you know, the drive rather than trying to overtake it.
Mm-hmm.
And then have him up your bum for the rest of the trip.
For the rest of the trip, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I suppose we need to talk about is what happens when a truck overtakes you.
Yes.
Now, you know, you said you sit on about 90, so that means that trucks are overtaking you.
Yes.
You know, especially, you know, we'll talk about the dual lanes, I suppose, but, you know, when you're on a single lane road, it's even more imperative. One of the things that truckies do complain about, and bear in mind there's a lot of caravanners out there who are truck drivers and truck drivers who are caravanners, you know, so they're you know, seeing both sides of it.
Of course.
But one of the things that truckies will complain about a lot is when a caravan slows down just before a slow lane.
So, right.
Yeah, we've got this, you know, single lane either way, and it's coming up to a slow lane. So the caravan will slow down to allow the truck to go around on the slow lane.
Yes.
But if you slow down prior to that lane, that means the truck loses its momentum.
Okay.
And a, you know, a truck at, you know, 50 or 60 ton takes a lot of, you know, energy and time to get momentum.
Yes.
So the suggestion is from Kent at Truck Friendly is you maintain your speed until the truck starts to overtake you.
Okay.
And when the truck starts to overtake you, then you can gently lift off.
Okay.
You know, shed 4 or 5 Ks maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives the truck the ability to go around you.
Okay.
The last thing you should do is if a truck is overtaking you is put your foot down.
And does Ken, you know, say he sees this a lot or he hears this a lot? Because I hear it a lot from the truck drivers, you know. They go, oh, those blasted caravanners, they slow down and they get around, you're halfway around them and then all of a sudden they start accelerating.
And look, I see it a lot. I mean, you know, I'm not driving a truck. I'm seeing a car where you go to overtake somebody. I mean, I drive on the highway on cruise control.
Yes.
And I'll have people fly past me,
mm-hmm,
and the next that I'm then overtaking them because they're backed off or their speed's up and down.
Yes.
Now, suggesting you drive on cruise control, but, mm-hmm, you know, be aware of your speed. And, you know, whenever somebody's overtaking you, you know, just back off that few Ks so that you can give them time to go around.
Okay.
But don't do it before they overtake you.
No.
Do it once they're overtaking
you. Whilst they're overtaking you.
Yeah.
Maintain.
Now, if you have a UHF,
yes,
you know, there's a. I won't go through all the details, but there's a really good, you know, channels and how to use your radio on the Truck Friendly website. Mm-hmm. So I suggest that you go there and have a good read of that.
Okay, well, I might have to try and get Ken on the program. I think Ken's a wealth of information. I do follow Ken on Facebook, Truck Friendly, and he's got so much knowledge about, you know, what's going on out there. And I believe was he the chap responsible for the Truck Friendly stickers that you can now actually get?
Absolutely, yeah. We have those in stock at Checkweight.
Okay.
So you get them off us, but
okay,
you can, you know, order them direct from Ken.
Uh-huh.
On the Truck Friendly website.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's to indicate, you know, there's a few criteria, like you have your radio on and you have a radio and you use it.
Yes.
Because that gives you the ability to talk to the truck and, mm-hmm, let them know your intentions or their intentions.
Okay.
While we're talking about overtaking trucks, there's something that's come up on Facebook a couple of times lately, and, mm-hmm, and that is the – and this is a definite no-no,
right,
is indicating to somebody that it's safe to pass.
So yes.
Yeah, so there's an old thing that, you know, people used to do in the 70s or 80s where they'd indicate that this road was safe ahead so that you could pass them.
Right.
It's illegal and it's very, very dangerous.
Okay.
to do that.
Okay.
Do it by radio, but don't use your indicators mm-hmm. to indicate to somebody that okay. they're allowed to pass.
Wow. Okay. I do remember speaking to Ken about that subject some time ago. We were just having a friendly over a coffee, and he did say that to me, that a lot of people think they're doing the right thing by if they don't have the UHF, that they just, you know, put the blinker to indicate, hey, it's safe to go around. And the trucks that do go around usually flash both sides of the blinkers, left, right, left. That's a way of waving thank you. So there's a bit of an unknown language, I guess, out there. But you're saying, and Ken said, that it is in fact illegal, I guess, for the simple reason that if you did indicate to somebody and somebody was halfway around you and there was a head-on, I guess you could be held responsible for that, couldn't you? Because you've effectively said, hey, it's safe to go around me.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a somebody posted on Facebook a couple of weeks ago that mm-hmm. they were on a highway and they had to turn right off the highway, and they put their indicator on right. early to yes. show the person behind them that they were going to turn, and the person actually went round them and caused an accident.
Wow, the person.
And they both ended up, you know, on the side of the road.
Jeez.
So, yeah, you know, so be aware that, you know, indicators are there to tell people what you're doing,
yes.
not yes. to indicate what you should be doing.
Okay.
So, and I've had it. I've seen people do it, but yeah, you know, like, I mean, if you're in a little four cylinder vehicle, it's very different to if you're in a V8 vehicle. So,
yes.
you know, it's up to you to decide when it's safe to overtake, okay. not somebody else.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Anything else we need to cover, do you think, Jeff, on this one?
I think that, you know, my main suggestion from this is go to the Truck Friendly website.
Yes.
Have a good read of the information there
uh-huh.
and digest it. And,
yes.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. But, yeah, be aware that we've all got to share the road, and there's more trucks on the road, there's more caravans on the road, there's more cars on the road. So mm-hmm. the better we interact, the better and the safer we travel.
Fantastic. Another fantastic discussion, Jeff. How can we wind it up for you today? What Aussie song can we play?
Well, I always try to have a theme, and mm-hmm. I thought we'd go with Straight Lines.
Silver Chairs, Straight Lines, unbelievable. even with your song selection, Jeff, you astound me. Because obviously, if you're going to be overtaking or a truck's going to be overtaking, you may not be on such a straight line. Be careful when you do it. Or when they do it with you. Mate, thank you so much for the time today. It's been a pleasure chatting to you as always, and I look forward to our discussion again next week.
Thanks, Phil. Travel safe and enjoy the road.
There you go, listeners. That is why you shouldn't overtake trucks. Now we're going to be back with more Roman Oz straight after Silverchair's Straight Lines.
Everything.
hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.